Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I'm Mary Griffith. We're going to have some fun today. We're talking about a serious topic, as always. We're talking about veterans and the Tri-State Veterans Support. Joining me this morning, as always, I think on the second Monday. Is it the second Monday, Richard?
It is. Absolutely. Second Monday of each month.
Thank God you remember, because you know me, scatterbrained. I don't. Tell us a little bit about Richard Elson-Peter and why you're so involved with Tri-State Veterans Support.
Okay. What I tend to find is there are a lot of holes in the system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a two-service, 25-year retired veteran. I spent a lot of time, you know, after I got out, creating different veteran service organizations. And it says, there are just a lot of holes. So it says, there are some great service organizations. There's great people out there. There's great programs that are out there. But there's so many different organizations that they all fall under their own purviews. They all have their own charters that they can follow. So if a veteran comes in and says, I need help with this, 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 and this, those organizations can say, well, I can help with this and this, but I can't help you with the other stuff.
Yeah.
So what we're striving very hard to do is to bring those coalitions together, have them create connections with each other and boundaries with each other. So when those veterans come in and say, I need help with this, 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 and this, and they say, well, I can help with this, and I know who, you know, I can't help with the others, but I know who can. So they can reach out to them, make those phone calls, make those connections, and make that transition or that help for that veteran much more fluid within the communities.
Yeah, and we've loved that. And we've loved that you've come and devoted every second Monday of your life here to the Mary Griffith Show. If you don't get paid to be a guest on the Mary Griffith Show. So I don't even hardly get paid to be the host of the Mary Griffith Show. Who am I kidding? Kyle Moore, what are you talking about? Kyle, you look at
the... We don't get paid to be here?
No, but stay
here. We get paid to have all this fun, right, Mary?
Stay till the end of the hour.
Yeah.
Please. Kyle Moore is here. Where do we begin? Kyle is the president of the Great River Economic Development Foundation. Last week, they just announced that they have purchased the building at 501 Hampshire, and they're going to be moving into that new location. Gratif, the Chamber of Commerce, and the district, all coming under one roof. Because, again, as Richard has said with veterans, sometimes you go and you're like, oh, well, we can help you with that, but you have to go to the chamber for this other thing, or you have to go to the district for something else. Now, if they need to talk to all three, they just have to make one stop. But that's not going to be till next year sometimes.
That's correct. And so what we find, oftentimes in the business community is that there are different organizations, much like the veterans community, that can help out. And we know that having us under one roof creates a one-stop shop. And you've seen it locally here with the Veterans Assistance Commission that was formed. I think people are just now, you know, we're inundated with information, and there's so many good programs out there, whether you're starting a business, whether you're a veteran. But how do you make it accessible and easy for somebody to navigate all of the great things that we have in our community? And that's one of the great things about Richard and all the veterans, commissions and committees that are out there.
We also want to make full disclosure that Kyle is running as a Republican for state representative. Randy Fries will be retiring. Kyle is on the ballot. We don't know if he'll have a Democratic challenger or not yet. You will not?
No.
You're running unopposed?
Running unopposed.
Okay. So you can vote for him or not vote for him, but he's going to be our next representative.
I'm on as the president of the Great River Economic Development Foundation.
And
no politics.
All great roads lead to the same great ending.
That's
and
right.
So we do want to talk about the Veterans City concept. Let's talk about the Great River Economic Development Foundation and why it wants to have Quincy kind of adopt this Veterans City concept. What is it? How do we get people employed through it? And how do businesses get to understand all these great willing workers are out there? You just need to connect with them.
Well, you know, the Veterans City concept really started under Mayor Mike Trope. And as we began 3 years ago to work on talent attraction, it was the mayor that really said, you know, I think there's a lane for Quincy and Adams County to market and recruit our community to veterans. And if we're talking about a skilled labor gap, how better to fill that than with veterans who are moving into our community, or active servicemen and women who are looking to move to a community after their service to our country is done. And so that's something that we've teamed up with the city of Quincy in the past and continue to do to, and we can talk a little bit more how we've done it, but really let veterans know that there are opportunities for them to find a career here in Quincy Knobs County, and then partner them with the many other services that are already here, unrelated to obtaining a job.
Well, I know that people drum out of the Corps or leave the military, certainly at certain points. There are always these inflection points, like I would imagine San Antonio, Texas would be one where a lot of people are, you know, leaving. How do you get them? And Richard, chime in if you need to. How do you get the word out to military men and women that are retiring or leaving service, and they may be in California, they may be at Camp Lejeune, they may be all over the place, you know?
So we've been, the city of Quincy partnered with Gretiv and three local employers to go down, I believe it was last year, to Fort Leonard Wood. They had a career fair of sorts to individuals who are planning their exit from military service. And so we went down there to really promote the community and talk about the good-paying jobs that we have. And then one of the things that people don't realize about the Quincy's Calling campaign is that we did a geofencing campaign. And one of the strategies we did was to geofence around military bases. So that way, as men and women who are in the service are scrolling on their phones, on TikTok, and things like that, they were getting advertisements for Quincy's Calling and the jobs that we have. And so those are two things that we've done that probably people don't realize that we were doing, but certainly was part of our strategy to make sure that we're reaching out to veterans and letting them know the many wonderful opportunities that are here in the tri-state area.
Isn't that one of the problems and why I love it when you come on the show? Because you're trying to attract people from an outside audience. So this audience is not going to hear that effort. They're not going to see those ads. You don't need to tell people in Quincy how wonderful Quincy is. You need to go down to Fort Leonard Wood and say, hey, if you've got the skill set, if you need a job, if you'd like to be readily employable, come to our hometown. And we'll even help pay for some of that with some housing subsidies.
Well, that's correct. And so, and also part of the Quincy's Calling campaign is we made sure that we interviewed individuals who had different walks of life, and we had a veteran that works at NAPIDE who was able to tell his story about coming and working for NAPIDE and what a great organization NAPIDE is for veterans. And we know that, you know, Titan does a lot for veterans, and so many great stories that we tell. And those are just little things that we can do to help market our community, but also do it in a way that's pleasing for people of a younger generation, which is short videos, you know, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, that kind of story.
You know, I was watching on the Smithsonian Channel. I spent most of the day laying on the couch doing nothing, but I was watching the D-Day special on the Smithsonian Channel. And one of the things that fascinated me, of course, in World War II, everybody served. I mean, you know, everybody wanted to serve and everybody did serve. And one of the problems they had after the D-Day initial invasion there on June 6th was, as weeks went on and they got farther inland in France, they had all these hedgerows they had to plow through. Well, these guys, probably from the farm, started thinking, how are we going to knock this down? They went back to the beach in a Jeep, got the barriers that the Germans had set up, those spiky things, welded them onto the front of a tank, and just plowed through those hedgerows.
Yeah.
You know, get that tank going high speed and just plow through that hedgerow. Now, the minute that plowed through, of course, the Germans would set up gunfire, but at least you had a hole there.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody could go in, and then it was just almost hand-to-hand combat from them. But I thought to myself, I bet some farm boy figured that out. You know, somebody who you know, was a veteran and just said, how can we solve this problem? Had to use his real-world skills and his military skills to solve a problem. And that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. Military people are problem solvers.
Well, and I totally agree, Asus, and that's one of the great things about the American military is in every other military, the soldiers are not really allowed to think. They are just told what to do, and then they just go do it. Nobody, the other soldiers don't know what the plan is or what is going to happen. But in America, the American soldier, they just simply do it. They're given a job, and they're allowed to do it. You are always constantly training the person that's going to replace you. So you're always looking at training the soldiers below you to take your spot when you're no longer there. So you are allowed to think. You are allowed to do things. You are allowed to use those initiatives to get the job done. And to go back a little bit with what Kyle was talking about, Fort Leonard Wood, we have three great military installations within this geographic region. We have the Fort Leonard Wood, we have Skye Air Force Base, we have Great Lakes Naval Station, as well as Whiteman Air Force Base. So we have those four that, you know, those same type of initiatives could be used. But veterans are getting out from every base, every post across the country. So those same things could be done at some of the, you know, bases in Texas or in Florida or in California.
Because you never know who's from the tri-states that is exiting from those places. And so that's why these unique marketing, like geocaching and all these other things that they're doing, geofencing, they're letting people know, hey, if you want to move into the tri-state area, Quincy specifically, you know, this is an opportunity and here are the kind of jobs we have available.
Well, and I think it's a win-win because our employers are looking for skilled labor, but they're also looking for future leaders. And you know that when somebody's coming out of the military, they've got the skills that they need to be employable. They know you've got a work ethic there that is second to none. And then you know if they've are a veteran of the military that they're going to step up into leadership roles. And so our employers, when we ask them, hey, do you want to go down and do a job fair in Fort Leonard Wood, you know, signed up and said, sure, we'd love to do that. And when they learn that we're doing some different marketing around military bases, they like that idea. And I think some of them are even doing that themselves. And that's another thing we probably don't realize is happening ever on a day-to-day basis to make sure that, you know, if you're in the military and you're looking at what your next opportunity, what your next stage in life is going to be, you're probably seeing something from Quincy, Illinois, if you're from here or from the area.
So we want to let everybody know that if you're out there and you're listening and you know somebody who's going to be withdrawing from the military, they usually take, you know, that takes at least 12 months. They start to get a plan together, you know, and start, you know, talking to them. Hey, come back. Here are some job opportunities that we have. My guest today is Kyle Moore, and he's the president of the Great River Economic Development Foundation, and Richard Elson Peter with Tri-States Veterans Together. And every month we talk about things that are important to veterans and how our community is reaching out to help veterans. And, of course, the best way to help them is to get them a independent head of household job, which we have many of those available, still go for want right here in the tri-states because we just don't have enough people to fill them. So we're looking for veterans to move back to Quincy, and there are definitely some incentives to make that happen. We'll take a break at 9:35. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. But first, we head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Let's see what they have to say. This report brought to you by Pioneer and Rex Battery. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Kyle Moore, the president of Great River Economic Development Foundation, and Richard Elson Peter from Tri-State Veterans Support are with me today. The city of Quincy has been declared by its own self as a veteran city. They want to be welcoming and helpful, and they're going to try to get as many veterans employed here as possible, and they're reaching out and hiring veterans. Every single employer is willing to talk to the veterans. And I think, though, sometimes there are some blocks. And Richard, you've talked about this eloquently, but I want to get Kyle's point of view on this, too. Just like mental health is a stigma still, well, now we've got a bit of a stigma about people that come out of service with post-traumatic stress syndrome or somebody who's been in combat that may have some mental health issues or some mental health needs. Be honest. Everybody wants to support our veterans. Everybody wants to support our servicemen and women. But there is, I think it's irrational, but there is this fear, what will happen if I hire a veteran? Will I run into some mental health issues? Is that a palpable, real concern?
You know, I haven't had many employers express that, especially because I think there's so much awareness now of how to you know, work with individuals who are suffering from PTSD or any type of, you know, emotional stress that they've had in their life. And one of the things that we've seen from veterans is, you know, their journey to Quincy and then, you know, really making this place a home is really finding other veterans, you know, trying to become a part of the community like they were when they were an active member of the military. And so that's one of the things that we do at Gradif as part of our concierge service is make sure that if we know that somebody is moving into the community and they were, you know, an active member of the military, and they want to become really a part of that veterans community, we can make those introductions for them. Or if they're coming here and they already have employment, but their spouse is looking for employment, we can often help shop their resume around, his or her resume, to find gainful employment. And one of the things that I also want to make sure people realize that we have is a lot of times veterans want to start their own business. And certainly when you talk about grant funding, you know, a lot of folks come into Gradif and the first thing they do is they say, I'm starting a business. Where is their grant money for me? And 9 times out of 10, really grant monies are available for minority-owned businesses, women, but also veterans. And so if you're a veteran and you're looking for, you know, how can I take my business from my garage to a storefront, we can help you find out what grants are available, not only from the state, the federal government, but also there are many private sector grants that are available. And so we can help that veteran, develop a business plan if they don't have it, but then, two, tap into financial resources that maybe aren't available to individuals who aren't veterans.
So there are some extra perks, but you have Correct. To kind of know to yes. navigate, and that's what Gradif does.
Correct.
They help them navigate that. It's interesting because really Gradif and the Chamber will help anybody mm-hmm. With any problem, but there may be some money attached to being a veteran. But part of the problem is you want to be a small business owner. Great. A lot of veterans are successful in that because they have a do-it attitude. They have a get-out-there-and-get-it-done attitude. But they may not have as much business schooling mm-hmm. as they need. So the programs that kind of mentor people along, the programs where you can say, hey, I want to hook you up. Mm-hmm. And so many people in Quincy, they have no fear of helping another business owner. It's like, you're not going to take away from me. We're going to build this, you know, we're going to all help each other.
Yes.
And that's important.
And there's mentorship programs out there as well where, you know, retired CEOs through the SCORE program are happy to walk alongside somebody on their journey because they want to see other people succeed. And, you know, I think the nice thing about veterans when they come to us is that there are programs for them, especially if they want to start their own business, where, again, you know, those kind of programs aren't available to just everybody.
Okay. When it comes to Gradif, mm-hmm. you've talked a little bit about what you're already trying to do. Let's go over that again, mm-hmm. reiterate that, but then let's talk about maybe some things that aren't being done that you'd like to see Gradif do, or you'd like to at least try to mm-hmm. see Gradif take on in the future.
Yeah, so once again, we are working to help attract veterans in the community. We've done it by, you know, going to hiring fairs. We've done it by doing some geofencing. We also work to set up, you know, through our concierge program, an opportunity for veterans who are moving into the community to get integrated in the community. And that's just not meeting other veterans, but also meeting people who have lived in Quincy their entire life, having different events where they can experience Quincy a little bit, especially if they don't know anybody. And then again, walking alongside that entrepreneur and helping them navigate starting a business, getting a business plan, tapping into different state and federal resources and private resources, we can do that. And I think we have that set up. I think the next stage for Gradif and the veterans community is how do we then take this, you know, all the coordination that you're seeing now and you're seeing with the Veterans Assistant Commission that the county set up, how can we harness that momentum and the veterans home that's, the, you know, the new bill that's happening at the veterans home and say, okay, we have from the beginning stages of a career to the ending stages of life, we have so many wonderful opportunity for veterans. How can we harness that, market it, and really tap into a deeper pipeline, I would say. And that's just going to take time and the coordination that you're seeing Richard already do.
Okay. Well, you bring up the veterans home, and you'll soon be our state representative, and certainly Jill Tracy and Randy Fries have been big advocates for the Illinois Veterans Home in Quincy. But despite advocacy, we still have trouble hiring enough staff out there. Mm. We still have some issues. Of course, we're building brand new facilities, but we still have issues with some of the aging facilities are still in place. What what can the state of Illinois do, or can the state do any more? You know, somebody once said, government doesn't create jobs. You know, really, businesses create jobs. And the Illinois Veterans Home is a business, even though it's, you know, publicly in the domain. What more can be done to help improve things at the Illinois Veterans Home? Because it's the same problem over and over again. We don't have enough skilled staff to keep them at full strength. They can only have so many people live there.
Well, let me tell you. So the state last year launched a tech talent pipeline with Lincoln Land Community College, where the state said if you enter into this program, you will get hired on by the state and make a certain amount of money. I think it was something like $50,000 or $60,000 a year. So here you had an opportunity where the state said, our department needs more tech folks. We have a local community college. Let's develop a program. You see the state really investing in EVs and electric vehicles, and working on how can we make sure we're equipping our workforce to repair electric vehicles. Are a little bit different. So I think the state could get creative with the veterans' homes and the communities that are there to say, what skill gaps do we have, and can we get creative with some salary incentive and training incentives to help to help enhance the number of individuals that are working at our veterans' homes. So I think they've shown they can get creative. I don't know if that same concentration has been just on the veterans' home as you're seeing in those other industries. It's not right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying I don't know if they've thought about that. But they certainly have been willing to think outside the box.
And that is definitely what is needed, because we need more CNAs, more licensed practical mm-hmm. nurses, more registered nurses. We need more physician's assistants. Which I hate that term, because physician's assistant sounds to me like the person who hands the Band-Aid to the doctor. When a physician assistant is fully capable of prescribing drugs and is basically Dr. Light is what I call it, they're a registered nurse who has completed so much advanced training that they can operate under the auspices mm-hmm. of a doctor's supervision without him or her being there, 24/7 watching right. them. There's so many opportunities, and our new veterans home is certainly going to, the Hammond Hall, where it's now all just for dementia and Alzheimer's patients. We're changing the way we take mm-hmm. care of our veterans. We're changing the skills that are needed to take care of veterans. And of course, the brand new campus, even though it's in the old campus, but it's going to need a whole cadre of people to maintain it, to run it. I mean, the job opportunities out there are kind of endless.
Well, and then too, to be able to work in a new facility. You know, I think that has a great cachet, and it has a great thing to help market it, that mm-hmm. you're working in a state-of-the-art facility. So I think that's going to be a wonderful opportunity for recruitment for them. And just to be able to create that sense of community around those new facilities, I think is going to be a wonderful opportunity.
The state of Illinois, do you feel that they're giving enough to the veterans? Do you feel that the veterans programs are being put foremost in the state budget?
Well, I don't want to get political, Mary.
Okay.
Sorry. That's probably another
I'll wait a year to ask you that question.
There you go. That's probably another topic.
Yeah. But you're willing to work with whatever program they have.
Right.
There you go. Greta
and
Pak.
And there could always be additional resources as an additional funding.
Yeah.
We understand the state budget is tight, but maybe another conversation when I'm wearing another hat. We'll
okay. We'll do that, which leads me to the next question.
I can get political.
You can.
Just a bit. You get political, and then I want to ask Kyle Moore a question. Are you going to continue to be the director, the president of Great River Economic Development Foundation after you take the oath of office to be our state representative?
So at this time, the plan for me is to continue to work at Gretf and to do that. So usually about 70% of the state legislators have a full-time job. And so, I've had discussions with the board that, I'd like to make sure I'm still employed, and I love the work that I do at Gretf. I just celebrated my 3-year anniversary. What that looks like, we're still working things out.
Because there could be a conflict of interest in some ways.
Yeah, there's not really a vote where you'd have a conflict of interest. And there are other people that practice economic development, and in the state legislatures, you have mayors, you have policemen, you have firemen. So people have been able to work around that. I think what the board has seen is that there's an ability for us to step up and be leaders in the state for economic development and really be a voice for the economic development community, which we really the state house doesn't have right now. So we're trying to figure that out. And Mary, what I've told the board, and I think you've known me long enough to know, we're going to try it. We're setting clear goals, and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, no harm, no foul.
Okay,
right?
You'll step aside from your role,
correct.
And if it becomes a problem. Richard, you're not bound by any nonpartisan things here, so you just wail away. Is the state of Illinois doing enough? They just passed a budget. By golly, they're spending a heck of a lot of money. Are they spending enough on veterans?
I don't think they ever spend enough on veterans. We've had enough conversations that, in my opinion, a lot of times it's not about funding. It's not about money. It's not about getting more money or throwing money at an issue. It's a matter of tackling the issue where it needs to be tackled. As far as the Veterans Home right now, I think it's a wonderful, great facility. But they're in the state of flux. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing all of the construction out there. The old, Troy is no longer there, so they have a new director out there.
And some people say that's a great improvement, though.
Some people say it's not.
Okay.
You know, so it depends on what side of the coin you're on. They're in the process of hiring a new adjutant out there. So I know Dawn is no longer there.
Big shoes to fill there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a kind of a state of flux. So everybody's kind of wondering who works there, you know, what's going to happen, who's going to be in charge, who, you know, what the direction is going to be. So I think it just brings up a lot of turmoil out there. So once I think they get the director, gets his feet established, he starts, his own programs and, falls under himself. They get the new adjutant hired and they get that stability put. They get some of the construction done so there's not so much chaos with that. I think things will settle down. And I think I think it'll be a great facility. My biggest concern is I love those old buildings out there, and I hate, the idea of some of those coming down. So even though they need to come down, I love the history of it. So
yeah, if you could save everything, I mean, that would be the ideal. But I'm sure they'll have some kind of plan in place. Well, I want to ask Kyle Moore a follow up question about Greta, because when Bruce Guthrie was on last week representing the Chamber of Commerce, we did have a chance to talk about like Cane's Fried Chicken is coming and Hula Bowl and Jersey Mike's, which I thought at one time I would be the owner of, but I'm not, so that's okay. I'll go eat there. It's amazing. We're finally getting Jersey Mike's. I'm so excited. I wish I owned it, but we're finally getting Jersey Mike's. But the bottom line is, we seem to be thriving when some other places in Illinois are saying, Illinois is a terrible place to do business. Nobody wants to come here. Well, golly gee willikers, we're just 10 feet away almost from the river, and yet everybody still wants to build in Quincy. Is Quincy just so full of pride and so full of chutzpah that everybody just wants to come here? Why are we getting something that seems like nobody else can get?
Well, I think you have to position yourself for success. And I think the community, through different financial incentives and through different workforce programs, has really made sure that if investment wanted to come to Quincy, that they would be welcomed with open arms and it would be an easy process for businesses. I tell people all the time, whatever you think about the state of Illinois, Quincy is showing that the business climate here locally is thriving. If you think about it, through Trimark and United Alloy, we have two out-of-state manufacturers
that came here,
located a new facility. Now we're getting an upwards of $40 million building with United Alloy, 100 new jobs, Trimark. We've got some wonderful energy projects that are on the horizon, and so you're seeing this investment. I think it's because, one, we took a look at, on the retail side, what incentive programs did we need to make sure that these old buildings weren't going to be a cost barrier for somebody that wanted to come in. And, the Midtown Business District was established as well, which they've been able to tap into. We've marketed and actually recruited, retailers where we didn't used to do that. The city of Quincy and Greta.
We used to always want industry.
That's it.
And now we realize, well, we don't have enough jobs. We don't have enough people to work in industry,
well,
so let's get some service.
And you used to, and as part of being successful in industry, you need people. And when people would move to the community, they would say, we want the same amenities in our new hometown as we had before. And so especially if people are moving from bigger communities, let's face it, they wanted a Target. I always tell people, when I was mayor of the city of Quincy in 2013, the two requests that I used to get were, we need new schools, they're old, and we need a Target in those in that order. And here we have all new schools, and we have a Target.
Okay, I'll be honest. I'm not thrilled with our Target. I just don't
we
like our
it.
Target. But I have bought some stuff there. We'll never get a Red Lobster now that they're in bankruptcy, so we can quit doing that.
I guess we're not going to have all-you-can-eat shrimp together, Mary.
The reason they're going out of business is because of me. I mean, I've taken full blame. I've taken full blame for Red Lobster's bankruptcy. Well, things are certainly going great. I mean, it is hard to find a big gray cloud in Quincy. Look at the Grand Prix of Karting this weekend. Even little things like the St. Francis picnic. My golly, there were hundreds of people out there. And it just goes to show that we have a great climate. And if we can get our veterans to feel part of that, if we can get our veterans to have a place to live, if we can get them the medical care, all the things we've talked about, Richard, you know, all those things that are going to happen, if we can include that the veterans are happy, as the rest of us will be fine.
Three of the pillars that I always look at with veterans is one of the things that Kyle had just talked about is never say no to a veteran, connecting the community with the veterans and connecting the veterans with their communities. So I think by having things such as German Fest, Fishing for Freedom, Honor Flights, the Veteran Assistance Commissions, the Veterans Resource Fairs, by having those things that show this is a welcoming place for veterans, it is a good place for veterans to start businesses or to work at, is always a great thing. To connect those veterans with the community and then connect the community with its veterans is so critical.
Well, thank you very much to Kyle Moore, the president of Great River Economic Development Foundation, and to Richard Elson-Peter, representing our veterans today. And we encourage you to stay tuned because Dave Ramsey is next right here on WTAD.
All right.